Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Thank you for joining us for another show of Sound of Youth. The music that's playing is not to play in the capacity that it is playing in. Jim, thank you for joining us. Hey, Mom. Good evening and welcome to another edition of Can of Views. As always, I am your host, Glenn Keeling. I am also the co-founder and chapter coordinator of the Creative Care Beacon, and we are the only Ohio chapter representing the Human Solution International. A little bit about the Human Solution International. Listen, if you or a loved one are going through something, I definitely encourage you to reach out to the Human Solution International. And they're a 501c3 grassroots organization made up of a great bunch of people that think alike and are heading in the same direction. So if you or a loved one are going through a case or going through something, I encourage you to definitely reach out to the Human Solution. And you can do that by going over to www.thsintl.org. And you can fill out a dependent form there. And, you know, we've got a lot of great things going on with that website. There's a dependent form. There's a law library that's being worked on. And we got Candace Dyer from the Human Solution with us tonight. She's going to tell us some things that's going on with the Human Solution, the few things that they're doing and working on. And we'll catch up with her here in just a short bit. But you know, what we're working for is to end the abuse and violation of human rights. And that's what we stand for. Hey, Paul, thanks for joining us and sharing us around. Thank you. I appreciate that. You know, the violation of human rights, you know, cannabis cases being one of them, you know, is a violation of the human rights, especially if there's, you know, laws or programs in place in your state that, you know, I really hate saying this, but allows adult use or medical use. Either way, if you are allowed to use cannabis, you should be allowed to use cannabis, period. So nobody should be catching any charges still. But sadly, they still are in these states. And that's, a, you know, something that we're working on and trying to get through is, you know, having a better criminal justice reform, having a better platform for them, you know, for cannabis patients, and that's what it is. Because a lot of times they incarcerate and prosecute patients, and Peggy and I, knowing full well the extent of that, we spent 3 years fighting a case that we shouldn't have had to fight to begin with. With our case. So going forward with that, it was rough. It was hard for Peggy and I to, you know, to go through this, knowing that we were medical patients, that we're patients, we didn't do anything wrong except be patient. And that's something that a lot of people all across America face on a day-to-day basis, you know, because they're faced with the fact that they're a patient, they need cannabis, they need this medicine, so they're being criminalized for using the thing that they need, the medicine that you know, heals them and gives them, you know, better form. However that may be, whatever form that may be, is, you know, it's each their own, and everybody should be allowed, you know, and there, again, I'm saying that word allowed, but as adults, we should be allowed to put in our systems what we feel that we need, using cannabis, either way it goes. And that should be for the individual to decide on themselves, on that. You know, cannabis isn't the only thing. So listen, trust me and believe it. Doesn't matter what you're going through. any human rights violation, any case that you go through that's a violation of human rights, we encourage you to reach out to the Human Solution. Because, listen, we don't know you're going through something unless you reach out to us. Tonight's show is brought to you in part by the Holistic Cloud. Listen, if you're in the northeast part of Ohio and you're able to make it to Bel Air, I encourage you to go down to 3048 Belmont Street and check out a little shop there called the Holistic Cloud for all of your smoking accessories and smoking needs and holistic needs. And you can always talk with the owner there, Billy Blaze, an amazing human being and a great entrepreneur and a stand-up guy for Ohio, and I'm proud to call him a friend. So, listen, if you're in the area, pop in there, 3048 Belmont Street in Bel Air, Ohio, and check them out. It's a cloud. And listen, if you can't make it there in person, you can always see them at www.theholisticcloud.com. Again, they can ship it all anywhere to you because it's holistic needs. I'm working on trying to get Bill on later in the season. I want to listen to hear him, and you guys need to hear him and the work that he does and all the hard work he has put into making the Ohio Valley zero time, zero crime, you know, no time, no fine. And that's Bill Smith Jr. is working on that, and that's him working very hard, and he's gotten a lot of the Ohio Valley area with and on the ballot, and a lot of them has passed. So great thanks to Bill, what he does for the state of Ohio. sorry. Again, going back, you know, going through our case, it was the prosecution's allowed to prosecute you in any way they can. And we're going to talk a little bit about that when Candace joins us. And about the fight that we do and everything that we stand for as part of the Human Solution. But going through that, it was a tragedy, you know, and we faced a lot of persecution in the state of Ohio because of what we were going through and what we did and who we were to begin with. And that kind of, you know, brings me to public awareness and public support is a huge thing. And that's something that the Human Solution and here at the Creative Care Beacon work on wholeheartedly as we try to get you as much public support as we possibly can and get as many people going to your case as we possibly can. Tonight, like I said, we're going to be joined with Candace, who's going to be joining us here in just a few moments. And we're going to discuss the new program that they have in place and what they're working on and what she's doing as far as for the Human Solution International and what they were going through. So we'll just hop over here and see. Good evening. Thank you for joining us live here on Canopies. You're live. Hello.
Hey, Glenn. How are you doing?
I'm doing very good, Candace. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Yeah, definitely. No problem. Anytime.
So we'll start out with, you know, for you being a leader, a chapter coordinator for the Human Solution Texas chapter, what does the Human Solution International mean to you and for you?
Well, to me, it means having people on your side. You know, there's a lot of people, I mean, when you're going through a case, and I know that you know, and then I've seen it with my son, too, a lot of family members that believe, you know, that it's the devil's lettuce, and they think you're a bad person if you go to jail because you got caught with a joint or whatever. And so they lose a lot of their support as far as family, you know what I mean? And so for the Human Solution to get out there and be able to help just put those ribbons on and get people in that courtroom, man, that's just amazing. And then not only that, but to help people who need to raise money for a lawyer or, you know, just giving them advice on how to fight the case. I would say support what it means to me for sure.
Absolutely, yeah, and yeah, we both come from, we both needed, the Human Solution International helping us both, with
yes.
your son, with the letters and pushing for petition for him and for Peggy and I for standing there at the table with us and, being in the courtroom and, that's important and, that's what the Human Solution International provides is they provide, a whole host of people all across the, it's an international organization. So, got thousands of people, with supporting you. And that's a great thing, so tell us more about the Human Solution for you.
Yeah, they helped us a whole lot. In the beginning of this year, they helped raise money and funds for us to get into this RV that we're in. And so we're in the middle of paying this off now. So they helped us a whole lot with that, and we really appreciate it. Not only that, but we're now, since the court kind of is slowing down a little bit, we've noticed, there's some people getting out now. And when Craig Cecil got out, he started, talking to us about how, Last Prisoner Project helped them with money, but they just kind of, give you money, which helps a lot, but there's no support behind it. There's no guidance or anything like that. So he said that was missing right now. There's not very many places that are helping with that. So we all got together and we were like, well, what can we do to help with that? So we kind of got around in a board table and Craig was like, okay, well, these are some of the issues that I had. And he was like, when I got out, I got, I got to get a phone and everything's done on the phone now. People don't realize that it took us a long time to learn these phones and everything being done on the phone now. It's very challenging for somebody who's been doing 19 years in prison, be handed a phone and be like, yeah, do everything on here now. And so we would be helping with not only helping him get the phone and pay the phone bill, but also he or she wants to call their mentor and be like, hey, I was told to download this app and I don't know what to do. And so just somebody to help, guide them on how to fill out their applications for work or whatever that is. And then the other thing was he didn't have any clothes, shoes, none of that stuff. So we would be helping with that. And we would be helping with shampoos and toiletries and stuff like that. That was another thing that, they just kind of let them out there and they don't have nothing. And then birth certificates, social security cards, all that stuff costs like money. And they all have to have that to get a job. And that's one of their requirements. So we would help get that. And then also housing for some cases. Now, every case is going to be like a case-by-case. It'll be like a case-by-case basis. Like, not everybody's going to be the same. But we're going to team them up with a mentor that's going to be there for them no matter what for anything. Like, they can just call and be like, hey, I got this going on and I don't know what to do. I need help, blah, blah, blah. Just somebody to be there to help them. And then, of course, financially, I think we sat down and finally got a budget worked out and everything. And I think we've come to the conclusion that $5,000 per inmate would be enough to do all the things that we're planning on doing with these inmates. We want to give them the best chance that they can have once they get out, not to go back in. Because we all know that a lot of prisoners that come out are doomed to go back in. They come out on parole and probation we don't make it easy for them, you know what I mean? And
right.
So,
and it's not.
Right. So
that's
the reentry project we're working on.
Right, because being released from prison, after serving, especially, with Craig, his situation, 19 years serving in prison, even guys that serve less time, any amount of time, a lot of things are taken away from person, when they serve, any amount of time. So, yeah, definitely there's a lot that, needs to be addressed, and you know, there needs to be, you know, and I think this reentry program is an absolute godsend, and I think that, you know, a lot of, and I hope that a lot of people hear this, and, you know, they decide to help and jump over to Human Solution and donate to this organization and this program, because a lot of these guys don't have, you know, like you said, coming out of prison, you know, not having any clothes, because, you know, the prison is not going to, you know, make sure that you have these things. They're not going to,
right.
You know, there's not no store that a person can go to and stock up on things that they're going to need for when they get out of prison while they're in prison.
Exactly.
You know,
and then not only that, but they're so used to only having the choices that are in commissary. Craig was like, send to Walmart. And I was like, oh, my God, you know, what do I buy? Like, there's 100 choices of everything. And they don't have any choices in prison. It's like this or nothing. You know what I mean? So that would be another thing that we would help with, like going on Amazon and just talking for them, like getting on the phone with them, like what kind of food do you like? Let's get you some hamburger meat in your fridge and have it delivered to their house so that they can have a full fridge full of groceries and not have to worry about where they're going to get their next meal and just focus on when your parole is. And that, and then there's another thing. Craig said that when he was in prison for 19 years, he was told when to do everything. They, you know, everything was done at a certain time. And so when he got out and he had to kind of keep track on time on his own, like that was confusing for him. Like it took a while to get used to that. So we would be a mentor like, hey, you got your parole date tomorrow. Or do you have a ride? Do you need anything from us to get there? You know what I mean? Just support, basically, and funds to make sure you got the best chance once you get out.
Yeah, and that, you know, that's the thing is offering these gentlemen and these women, you know, a way to be able to stay out, and, you know, it'd be a way for them to pay back because they understand about how being in there. And, you know, once they get transitioned and everything becomes starting to smooth out, you know, these guys that start using the program first, they can become mentors themselves afterwards. And,
definitely.
You know, again, it's, you know, the program just, you know, with the rotating door that, you know, the more the prisoners that come out and join the program, the more mentors that we're going to have because, you know, it's not easy. You know, it's definitely not easy, you know, transitioning from prison to, you know, being, you know, back in the general to life, you know, and that's pretty much what it is because they go to prison. Their lives are put on hold out here because there's nothing for them. But, you know, and then that life picks up again for them once they walk out. But, you know, and for a lot of them, that picking up is very difficult because you're right that, you know, they spend a lot of time being told when, where, and how. So doing that for themselves, on themselves, is very difficult. So, you know, and again, this program, you know, offering that to them is, again, a godsend. And I think that it's a big deal that I think a lot of people should get involved with, whether they're part of the organization or not.
Right. I can't wait to mentor the first person. We do have two mentorees. I'm not sure about the one that Joe's talking to. I haven't got his stuff yet. But I know that Jackie is helping Tamika Drummer, and she's serving life in prison right now for cannabis possession. And they are working on getting her free as we speak. Jackie will be helping throughout the transition to her freedom. And right now she writes her letters. And, of course, we're asking everybody to write, you know, a little Christmas letter to her right now. And she gives her money for, like, phone calls and stuff. And then so she's working already. We've already got a couple prisoners working with. And then you can stay tuned for Instagram. We're going to be doing interviews with inmates that got out that Craig will be setting it up with. And we're going to be talking to these inmates and asking them, you know, when you got out, What were your difficulties? Because we want to know what best way we can help them. So we're going to be doing interviews with these inmates the next few weeks on Instagram. I'll have to let y'all know about the time and date and everything. But Yeah, that way y'all can see, you know, and hear from real life, you know, what the difficulties were. A lot of them come out with PTSD, to be honest with you. They put in for pause. There's rapists and murderers in there, and most of them end up getting raped in prison. I mean, that's a bad thing to talk about, but it's real. It happens. And you don't just get over that. That it's like it's difficult to be in with all these violent criminals, and all you did was smoke a little weed. And they're putting you in there with those same people. So they come out with mental issues, PTSD, depression, anxiety, and stuff like that, too, that they are going to need help with.
Right, yeah. You know, that somebody's mental status is a big thing. And for them to continue to heal, because, you know, going to prison damage, you know, like you said, it does. It does hurt a lot. Mentally and sometimes physically. And those are the things that we need to, you know, heal these guys for and these women that come out and be there for them and being a mentor. Taking on something like this is a tremendous task, and I applaud anybody that steps up and is a mentor, you know, because knowing that there's a lot of lot going on behind that is a big deal, honestly.
Right. I'm just happy to be able to help. I've seen, you know, the difficulties that my son had coming out. They let him out with no Social Security card, no birth certificate. They had lost his ID. And then they say, go get a job within this week. You know what I mean? And he's like, well, how? I don't have no money to get this stuff that you lost. And they're like, sorry about your luck. You're going to have to figure it out. And luckily he had us for support. But a lot of these prisoners don't have people for support and help. So they end up just being overwhelmed and they're like, just fuck it. And I'm not going to parole. And then they end up revoking and going back because it seems overwhelming to them.
Yeah, I could see where the overwhelmingness would come. You know, and again, you know, we're going to have this program that's going to help them with this. And there's not going to, hopefully, this, you know, with this program, there's not going to be any of that. And there's going to be people there that these guys can and women can reach out to on a day-to-day basis,
for sure,
anytime, you know. And I want to put out there that, you know, my phone number, I've never hid my phone number. It's always been posted on my page and on all the pages I'm involved with. Anybody
right.
is more than welcome to call me day or night. It doesn't matter what time, you know, because that's what I'm here for. That's being part of an organization like the Human Solution, being
right.
there for people is something that we stand for. And that's, you know, more than welcome to call anytime for any reason, no matter what it is. And we're always glad to take those calls. Because we do generally want to help and be there for people because it's a scary time going
right.
through these cases and being a patient and or being, you know, persecuted for cannabis
right.
use is an absolute – that in itself is a violation.
Exactly.
I can't say enough of how – having a reentry program like this is a godsend, and how you know it's going to do a lot of good.
I'm so excited again. Like I said, I can't wait. I can't even articulate what is coming. Like it's so amazing. We're all going to be working hard and going out and getting donations at like Allstate and for government grants. We're going to be going to like Aldi's and getting some grocery gift certificates. And we're just all fixing to just troop up and start getting all this money swooped in for these prisoners that are fixing to be teamed up with mentors. And I just can't wait to start giving stuff away to people. Like, here's you some groceries. You don't have to worry. Like, here's
right.
your money for your birth certificate. You don't have to worry. And, like, that just, it makes, I don't know, it makes I love to give. I love to help people, and it helps me to do that. So it goes both ways. When you help other people, you know, I'm a depressed person a lot, and I've got anxiety disorder and all that. But when I take my mind off what's going on with me and I start helping other people that have things going on with them, it takes my mind off my issues, you know what I mean? So it helps both of them.
Right, right. And, you know, again, and that's just being part of the, you know, the human solution. That just comes with, you know, and you know, it takes a lot to be, you know, that kind of a person, you know, and you know, I think that, you know, a lot of these places that are going to be, you know, giving donations, I think that a lot of them should step up and have some kind of reentry job program. I do know that there is a few places that have started taking in more and hiring in more felons because of this. And then, of course,
right,
the COVID thing actually helps, and it's pretty nice that, you know, the long-haired freaky people can now apply to these jobs.
Right.
You know, and so, you know, and you know, that I think that that's a big thing is a lot of these work, you know, companies that, you know, operate million-dollar businesses, multi-million-dollar businesses, offer some kind of job program for these guys to be reentered into, you know, as they come from prison, you know, stepping back into life and, you know, being able to have a job, I think is would be for a lot of guys, especially, you know, in Craig's situation, coming out of prison and knowing that, you know, I'm going to be able to I'm going to have a job. There's a job waiting for me. There's, you know, people there that, you know, I've talked to for the last 2 months of my time. You know what I mean? That there's set things for these guys, and this program gives them and offers them this. And I think that it's
right,
a tremendous thing that the Human Solution steps up and does with a reentry program like this. So what else is, you know, and I understand that you head up the Texas chapter of the Human Solution, correct?
Yes, sir. Yes, I'm the chapter coordinator. But, I mean, it takes all of us to do it. So, I mean, I just help guide them and teach them. I'm not really, I don't call myself like a lead of it. But, yes, I organized it and got it going. And we've got a group chat, actually. For the whole International Human Solution now, that we're asking people to join if you want to be a part of it. And what this group chat does is it makes it easier for us to stay connected. And, like, if you've got something you want us to share, then you can put it in that group chat, and then all of us will share it and just help each other, you know. And we're all from different organizations. We're trying to bring all these organizations together because we know until we start working together, we're not going to get anything done. We're not going to make any changes. So we've got Canicare off, and, man, I don't want to start naming names because I'm going to forget people. We've got so many amazing organizations
right. And, you know,
that are all teaming up to help. Yeah.
Right. And I know that the guys over there at Canicare Ops, you know, I know that Steve and Steve-O and Lori, they're great people. You know, I've had them on the show a couple times, and they're always more than welcome to come on anytime. They're just really great people that, you know, they do a lot of good things. You know, they're just,
yes,
just
they
really
do.
Honestly good people. You know, Steve-O is awesome. I love him to death, you know. You know, and I do want to tell everybody, you know, Merry Christmas, everybody, because I know that's, you know, day after tomorrow. So Merry Christmas to you,
yes,
Candace.
Merry Christmas.
And
happy holidays to everybody.
Right on. Yeah, you know. All right. You know, and this is the time of the year, you know, and I encourage everybody to go over. There's a couple of great organizations that have, you know, lists of prisoners. I do know that the Canada Convict Project and the Freedom Grow Forever, they both have list of prisoners that you can write to and send Christmas cards to. And if you go to them sites, and of course the Creative Care Beacon If you reach out to anybody of us, we have a whole list of people that you can write to and send cards
to. For sure. There's plenty of people to write to, for sure. And then just make sure that when you do write a letter, write it on plain paper with pen or pencil. Don't, like, make coloring on it or whatever. And don't send, like, Christmas cards, because they won't be able to get them. They'll push them back because of drugs and stuff being leaked in there through the crayons and markers and just all kinds of things. So they won't let those come through. But just a plain piece of paper, right? You know, tell them who you are, that we're out here supporting them, that they're not alone, and that we're thinking of them on Christmas. You just wouldn't believe the smile that they live for their mail, because they don't talk to nobody. So to get a letter from a stranger is just something special, and they'll remember it forever.
Absolutely. You know, and you're right. You know, hearing your name called at mail call and receiving, especially when you're not expecting it, and to get something from a total stranger, letting them know that, you know, you're thinking of them, and to thank them, because essentially, yeah, you know, these people that are serving time has paved and led the way for a lot of legislation to be changed and to be where
exactly.
It's at, and for a lot of people to be able to consume cannabis. So, you know, just thank them and let them know that there's people that care about them and that are thinking of them, and to wish them well, and to, you know, that right there in itself will brighten somebody's day tremendously. And that's, you know, keeping these prisoners and our plant prisoners mental stability and mental stuff is the main thing, is to keep these guys positive in order for them to continue to go on for every day.
Yes, definitely.
That's important. So definitely, please reach out to the Human Solution so we can get you guys information on how to be a member or how to get in contact with somebody that you know can write to. Candace, what else are you guys doing there in Texas? What more do you guys have going on there? I know that you guys have a music branch that you guys are involved with and that you've worked with, you know, off and on.
Right. Yeah, we've had a couple of events out at Texas Music Ranch. We do several things, really, other than being on the internet a lot, trying to help every way we can with sharing and getting the word out there and educating the public. Joe's got a podcast. You've got a podcast. I've got a podcast. Cup of Joe, Can of Views, and Can of Corner. All these podcasts are help educating the public and let them know, you know, what to keep up with the things that are going on with the Human Solution. We're all working towards the same goal. And then we've also got Joe's show's played every Wednesday, I believe, at 7, and then mine's every Monday at 7, and then yours is every Thursday at 7. So they're all at 7, easy times to remember, and you can check them out anytime. Then I'm also a part of KM420 Radio, which I'm super proud to announce that there are over 100,000 listeners right now. And that radio station, if y'all want to go check that out, it's KM420Radio.com. It's on Mixler. It's over on the Relevant app. And they play indie artists and they play good music. But then on Sundays, we do a podcast day, and people, it's basically just cannabis education all day on Sunday. So it's really cool. And then we don't got really any events going on right now as we speak, because of Christmas and stuff, it's kind of slowed down. But I did just do an event over at the Texas Hemp Convention, went out there. So we do stuff like that. And then if any court support is needed, of course, Texas area, we'll get as many people out there to your court as we can to be for support. And then, yep, that's what we do over here. Basically, we just educate, and then go and testify on the bills when they come through. 2022 will be the next legislative session, and then you're going to see us kick up really hard again, getting down there to Austin, getting people to send in their testimonies of how cannabis helps them, so we can come up there with a big old stack of papers to hand to the legislative people and let them know that there's all this support and that we need to make a difference, and we need to change laws, especially here in Texas, man. It's so awful. The baby steps that we have to go through here is crazy.
I would imagine so. You know, just got to say, greatly appreciate, you know, all that you guys do there in Texas, pushing for. And, you know, I understand that, you know, you guys are one of the, you know, there's a lot of states like yours that doesn't allow petition, you know, citizen initiatives,
right,
or, you know, citizen petitions to go through. And I think that a lot of, you know, the only way that you guys get things done is through your legislation.
Right.
Which I think is absolutely horrendous, because I think that
it really is.
You know, I think that everybody's voice should be heard and should be allowed. And, you know, to have a state that doesn't recognize its people but still want its people to vote for them,
right?
And I have a hard time with that. So I, you know, a big way for you guys there in Texas is for you guys to vote the ones out that aren't doing anything for you guys, and to put in the ones that, you know, is going to do for you. Because
yes,
I know that
no,
your guys' medical program down there is, you know, that you can't even really call that a medical program, honestly. I mean,
no.
I wouldn't even.
It's 1% by weight, I believe. So there's David Bass was explaining it's by weight. So I'm not sure what that exactly means, but it's 1% THC by weight. We're only allowed to have tinctures and gummies. And I believe 5 milligrams and 10 milligrams are available now. But the thing is, here's the trick, okay? If you are going to any other doctor for, like, pain or anything else like that, you have to choose whether you want to do the TCAP plan or whether you want to be on meds. So if there's a certain med that you got to still take, you can't get on the TCAP plan because you can't fail a drug test for it. So you can choose between one or the other. And I think that is total bull. Like,
right.
Some people still need to be on their medication too, you know, but it could help them take less of it. So.
Yeah. You know, I think having 1% by weight is, you know, I mean, I don't see how they expect a patient, a Texas patient, to be able to heal why they're using cannabis to begin with.
Right.
With those kind of percentages, you know. I say every program I have, and I'll continue to say it, that any program that doesn't allow a patient to grow for themselves, to heal for themselves, and has to rely on a limited program is not a program for patients, obviously.
Absolutely.
You know,
Big Pharma needs to let go of this, because Big Pharma's done enough damage. We can all be just fine growing our own meds. And it's all about the money here. And in a lot of places, that's just what it is. It's all about the money. And it's not about the patient.
And I think that's true. If you look at every program across the state, you know, across everywhere, there's not any program that is real, that's perfect for patients. And because none of them are geared towards, you know, a person being able to heal, because every program sets a limit to what you are allowed to have, what you're allowed to grow, what you're allowed to use. They limit your percentage amount. You know, a lot of the programs don't even retroactively take care of the current people that are serving time for the same thing that, you know, they're going to allow these people to use now. I think those are horrible programs that don't take care of patients and take care of the plant patients, you know, plant patients that are serving time. You know,
right.
I think those are horrible programs, and things need to be done because, you know, again, you can't spell healthcare without THC, period.
Right. Right. And it's never hurt anybody. And I can go to the corner store right now and buy me 100 proof liquor with no cap, no alcohol cap, and I can take it home. I can also brew my own beer at home, and that hurts millions of people, whether it has to do with their liver and health or whether it has to do with them getting in a car and driving and killing people. It kills millions of people a day, alcohol does. So, I mean, I don't understand their big cannabis needs to be regulated and blah, 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 because no, it doesn't. It should be just like alcohol, just like tobacco. You should be able to go and grow your own or go to the store and buy some if you want. You shouldn't have to pay
absolutely
$150 to see a doctor and $400 for your meds. And that's not making medicine accessible to everyone. That is making medicine acceptable or accessible to very few people who can afford that, number one, because your insurance don't cover it.
Oh, yeah, no, no.
Because it's not federally right now.
Right, because a lot of places still will tell you that it's illegal, that, you know, it's an illegal substance. And some places won't even give you insurance because of it.
Yes, yes. And doctors won't see you if you test positive for it. They'll make you go 3 months clean before they'll put you on any kind of medication. Even if you are on the TCAP plan, they still will not let you test positive for THC.
No.
Because it's not federally legal.
No, no. And, you know, something, I'm going to tell you something that's really sucky. Is, you know, I have COPD and I have what's called Alpha 1. And Alpha 1 is my liver doesn't produce a certain enzyme that makes my lungs constrict so it doesn't force all the air back out of my lungs. So I've got stale air that flows around there on top of the COPD.
Right.
Last year, you know, my pulmonologist sent me to be put on a transplant list. And I was put on the transplant list because I need a double lung transplant and part of my liver transplanted. So he put me on a transplant list. And 2 days later, they called me to start my paperwork and to start the process. And they asked, you know, do you use alcohol on a basis? Do you drink? So I'm like, no. And they're like, what, are you using any street drugs or any illegal drugs? And I was like, no, but I am a cannabis patient by state law. I'm a state cannabis patient.
Right.
And they immediately stopped right then and was like, well, there's nothing we can do, you know, in order for us to be able to help you and for you to be able to go through this. You have to be clean for 18 months, nothing in your system, because we can't determine whether you eat it or smoke it or how you ingest it. So I'd have to go off the cannabis for 18 months to even start the process.
But stay on your oxys, stay on your Lorazepam and your Xanax, stay on all that. That's okay,
absolutely.
But not cannabis. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. You know, if I wasn't on cannabis, if I was taking all the other medicine that I was supposed to be taking and I'm supposed to take, instead of cannabis, be no problem. Man, they fast track me right through, and it would be like a 26-month process, and, you know, I could get, you know, possibly on this list because, you know, listen, there is millions of Americans on a transplant list, has been on transplant list waiting for a very long time. So just because I quit cannabis and I go through this, there's not a 100% guarantee that I'm going to get on this list. And then 2 days later, I'm going to have the surgery and boom, I'm good. I would spend years on that transplant list.
Oh, yeah.
Waiting for a double lung and liver transplant. And all the while, I'm toxifying my body with all these pharmaceuticals that I need to be on, you know. So I don't see.
Yeah, my pain doctor literally told me this when I got bulging disc in my back, And I went in and I got an MRI and they found it. And they told me that I needed to go to pain management. So I went to pain management. He tested me. And, of course, I was smoking cannabis at that time. So he told me I had to wait to get any help for 3 months. I had to disclean for 3 months before he would even put me on anything for help with that. And then I told him, I said, well, I take it for PTSD. We're fighting. Just get this solved off. And he was like, well, you can go get back on your Xanax. And I'm like, dude, do you know what you're even saying to me? Like, that shit almost killed me. And it took me forever to get off of it. And you're telling me, go get back on that 3 milligram Xanax a day regimen. And that'll be fine. But don't smoke.
Right. And they're perfectly fine with that. You know,
yep.
And you know, the reason it is, and the biggest thing is, doctors don't get a kickback from cannabis companies because they're not going to they're not going to give the doctor a fancy car and help him put himself in a yacht and, you know, have 3 or 4, you know, vacation homes or, you know,
yep.
That's not going to happen. But as long as he's giving you them pharmaceuticals, he's able to make his BMW payment and that yacht payment and those 3 or 4, you know, house payments. And he's able to pay that $130,000, $140,000 tax bill every year because
it's
he's
criminal.
Giving everybody,
it really is.
You know, absolutely. He is a
It is
a
criminal
dealer,
because
that
these
period.
Doctors go, and they're supposed to help you. They are sworn into oath to do no harm to you, but yet they are harming you every day with these medicines they are putting you on. And is it because for your health? No, it's for their pocket. Half the shit you're taking,
absolutely.
You probably don't even need to take. They're just putting you on it so that you they're getting more money. And that is not what a doctor is supposed to be doing.
No, it's not. It's not. So real quick, Candace, before we wrap up tonight, how's the best way for somebody listening, if they're in Texas, how can they get a hold of you if they want to help out with the organization or if they want to get in contact with you? How can they do that?
For sure. We've got a Human Solution International Texas chapter on Facebook, on Instagram, and on Relevant. You can find us at all three of those places. You can download the Relevant app by going to Google Play Store or Apple Play. Really simple. And then we've also got like the main Human Solution page on Facebook, on Instagram as well. And then you can also reach us at thsintl.org, as well as they can reach out to me personally on Facebook, Candace Dyer. They can get a hold of me at canacorner20@gmail.com. Or they can call me at 817-353-1304.
Right on. And, again, you do a podcast on Monday night, 7 o'clock your time, 8 o'clock my time, 5 o'clock Pacific time. So you guys definitely tune in to Candace's, you know, show, Can of Corners, every Monday night at 7 o'clock.
Thank you very much. Yes. Please tune in, and that gets replayed as well on WJAE 420 radio on Wednesdays and then also on KM 420 radio on Sundays at both times, 2 o'clock.
Right on. Absolutely. Hey, Candace, I greatly appreciate you joining tonight and talking about the reentry program and what you do with the Human Solution. You guys, I greatly appreciate it again for you joining me.
Anytime, for sure, and anytime you want updates or whatever, you know, just hit me up when you got room on your show, you need me to call, and I'll be here for you.
Absolutely. Again, thank you.
And thank you, Glenn, for all you do.
Right on. Thank you. Awesome. Again, you guys, reach out to Candace Dyer. You can reach her on her page there personally, or you can reach out to her by giving her a phone call at 817-353-1304. She heads up the Texas chapter of the Human Solution. Just in closing, again, I just want to reiterate the fact that, you know, you guys reach out to a plant prisoner, write somebody, Give them a hand. We do support, if you guys want to, you guys can. Snap you, you know, it doesn't take a lot to write down Freelance Glore, take a picture of it and post it online. You can tag Carrie Cannon and or his mom, Tracy Glore Pike, in that. And you can drop in all charges against Adele and Aaron. And listen, if you guys don't think that public support works and helps, Adam Kokesh was serving what was sitting in Colorado, being charged with psilocybin. And a lot of people stood up behind him and stood behind him, made phone calls in support of him, and pressured him, but called and urged the prosecutor to do the right thing and ask the county to do the right thing and be right and to do what they're supposed to do when they're supposed to do it. And now Adam Cook is not sitting in the county jail and with all charges dropped against him. So that is what public support does. So when we ask you to pop a little picture in, to make these calls, to do the pictures for Doe and Aaron, to do pictures for Lance Gore, those work. It works. It really works. So I encourage you guys to do that. I encourage you guys to find somebody to write to and brighten somebody's week. As always, you guys, it's a pleasure to be here for you. And I thank you guys for joining us for another edition of Candy Views. Next week, we're going to have Mandy Chafin is going to be on with us. She has a tremendous story going from addiction to sobriety that she's going to share with us. And she's going to talk with us about the organization that she is a CEO of and heads up, Women at the Well. So join us next week as we talk with Mandy Chafin about her organization and about addiction. And that's what our show is going to be next week. So you guys join us. And again, thank you for another week and being here and sharing us around. You guys have another safe week. Thank you.